What'd you just say?
I'm Brian Kenny. I'm a loud bastard.
That's how I mic checked it. I'm debating. I feel like, because we don't do interviews the same way everybody else does interviews. Uh-huh. I feel like I want to save my story for when Steve's on the podcast.
You want him to hear it?
I want him to hear. I mean, I don't know if I want
it
him to hear it.
It is an arrogant move to bring some guy on to promote his shows and then be like, stay quiet for a minute. I have things to say.
Well, nobody ever said, A, I wasn't arrogant, and B, that we do things the way everybody else does. We are at
Steve,
hilarious.
Steve, if you could just quiet down for a moment.
You could talk about your little shows here.
Now I'm going to regale you.
with a tale of... and for the, obviously, people don't know, but we are live at Hilarities, by the way. Steve Ranazzisi is about to join us. You know him from the league. Kevin from the league. Very funny guy.
We're just at Hilarities. We're not live. Yeah. You're going to hear this after we record.
Well, technically,
it.
We are live, but you aren't hearing it live.
Technically, every podcast is live.
Exactly. So I was in Scottsdale and sent into the group text. I'm like, the most degenerate story. It's not the most, but it's up there. It's a top five degenerate story I've ever had.
Yeah, this was teased days ago. You like tease it and you're like, I'm gonna get on a plane. Wait, you guys can wait. And then the next day you sleep in and I'm like, where's the fucking story?
Well,
and
I wanted to
you have to wait longer.
I wanted to save it for the podcast. So I told Robbie and we went and got some tacos on Tuesday night and I told him and Reyna and they were dying.
Good.
So it's not like the grossest story. Oh, you know what? Fuck it. We'll just start off with it.
All right.
So this is the Pound Town Podcast. Will Bridge, Brian Kenny. We're presented and brought to you by Live Mixtapes. And like I said, we're at Hilarities. Come on down here, Brian. You're going to be here all weekend too?
I don't know about Sunday, but yeah, Friday, Saturday for sure.
Very nice.
Featuring.
So you're featuring for Steve Ranazzisi.
Yeah.
I love that. By the way, I was talking to John Brown earlier. He said he's very funny. I've never seen Steve's stand up. So
I have. It's been a while.
Yeah.
But yeah, very funny. And then The League isn't. An all-time show. I mean,
just iconic. Absolutely iconic.
Absolutely iconic. Came out like in the perfect time in my life for me to get super into it. It was like, my junior, senior year of college? Like, I was in the throes of it.
Long now.
I know.
It's kind of crazy.
I know.
So we are going to talk to him about that. I do want to dive into some Brown stuff too. We'll see how long we have him and what it fits, what fits in where. And maybe a little bit of Cavs, a little bit of Guardians. But all right, so I'm in Scottsdale and there was we did a content house for my work.
Mm-hmm.
Some MLB players, really, really cool. A whole bunch of, I think we had like, I don't know, 20-some MLB guys come through. We had like 30 or 40 of the top players under 18 come through. We had some big influencers, some stand-up comedians. Dan Donahue came through. It was great. He was at the House of Comedy, and then he had me do some sets with him up there, so that was really cool. So I was under the impression I had guest sets all the way through Sunday.
Okay.
And either he was supposed to do Sunday, or I just misunderstood it, and he was never doing Sunday. But on Sunday, I reached out to him. He's like, oh, no, I'm not doing anything tonight now. He's like, but there is a showcase tonight. I can hit them up and tell them to put you on the showcase if you want. And it was like, dude, it's St. Patrick's Day. And it's a Sunday night. Sunday night showcase is already anyway. And I was like, you know what? I'm tired as fuck. It's been a long week. I'm going to move my flight up one day because I was going to leave late on Tuesday night.
Mm-hmm.
Move it up one day. Don't worry about it. Thanks for the whole weekend. Appreciate it. Went great. I did some sets with him. And then I did Don't Tell out there too, which was fantastic. So I get the brilliant idea because my flight leaves at 11 p.m. and lands at 6 a.m. Monday morning here in Cleveland, and it's St. Patrick's Day, and I'm like, I'm just going to go drink all day long, and then get on the plane, and I'll sleep the whole, because I sleep really good on flights, and I'm going to go get on the plane, sleep the whole flight, wake up in the morning, I'll feel as refreshed as I could after a flight, and then I'll be able to actually just start my week normal, which is very difficult after these trips. So I go out, I wait until about 2 or 3 in the afternoon. And then I go out and I start having some cocktails and I'm bouncing around right by where the hotel is. I'm right by the airport. Uh-huh. And, it's fine. There's nothing.
All alone bar hopping?
I'm like going to get some food and having a couple drinks. And then I went to and then I was like, I'll hit a couple breweries. Cause I always collect stickers for myself and my buddy Brandon.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, I'll hit a couple breweries, right? Well, then I make some friends.
Uh-huh.
And the bartender at Fate Brewery was actually from Lorraine.
Wow.
Just moved out there like a year and a half ago, young dude. So
that happens everywhere you go. Everywhere anybody goes from
crazy.
Cleveland. You mentioned Cleveland. I'm always wearing Cleveland hats. Somebody there is from Northeast Ohio.
Always. It's insane how that works.
Mm-hmm.
I think it just says how badly people want to get the fuck out of Northeast Ohio. They're disseminating all across the country.
It's unfortunate.
But so I'm like, I make some friends there. The girls who work there are now hanging out with me that are off. We're all having a good time. My flight is at 11 p.m. I have a I have to get there and return a rental car too. So it's like 9:30. I have to have all this back. Mm-hmm. I have to be back there by. I have clear, so I'm no problem. I'm not worried about the lines. I just got to make sure I'm there. But there's one stop I have to make. I'm out of goodies and I need to hit the dispensary.
Okay.
So it's now like 8:45. I've been hanging out with these girls, talking to them. I'm like, this isn't going anywhere. I got to leave anyway. You got to get out of here. So I order a corned beef sandwich to go. I take off. I get over to the dispensary and I go in and they're just throwing numbers at me. Like, buy two of this, get two free, this. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, yes, more. I get up to the desk and they're like, all right, $215. And I'm like, ah, oh, fuck, that's a little more than I want to spend. But you know what? Not going to have to buy anything for a while. I was buying a present for a friend too. I'm like, I'll do it. Fine. I'm like, pull out my credit card. They're like, we can't take credit cards. Gotta be a debit card. Totally forgot about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, fuck. Well, I don't have a debit card because let's rewind 2 weeks to when I was in Houston down there doing comedy. And I left the comedy club with a comedian bitch. No, I don't know. and we went and spent some quality time together and I never went back and got my card. So my debit card is in Houston.
Okay.
At the bar underneath the comedy club.
It just lives there now.
It just lives. Yeah, it's gone. It was going to expire at the end of this year anyway, so I'm just riding it out.
That's a good amount of time. It's a good amount of time. You have so much year left. It's
November. This is how I've rationalized it.
It's just, same year, whatever.
It's not a big deal.
It's a long fucking time.
So I'm using Apple. I'm like, can I use Apple Pay? Now we're back at the dispenser. Can I use Apple Pay? And she's like, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. As long as it's not Apple Cash, it's connected to a bank account, usually it works. Perfect. Click it, go, doesn't go through. Like, fuck. All right, now what do I do? She's like, you're just going to need to get cash. It's like 9 o'clock at night. The bank's not open. There's a U.S. bank. I could see the U.S. bank sign out through that. It's like across a parking lot, across like a grocery store. I mean, it's a walk, but I'm like... You know what? Maybe they have some newfangled ATMs where I can go there and use my Apple Pay thing to be able to pull cash out. I know this is the longest of long shots, but I'm trying to get this home. And
that
I feel like
just doesn't seem how banking works.
Yeah, well, I know. I was at breweries all day. So
can I get a cash advance?
So I walk across, I get to US Bank. Obviously, this didn't work. So I'm walking back across the parking lot and there's a gas station. As I'm passing the gas station, I've given up on the dispensary now. I'm just gonna go to the airport, get an Uber and go. And as I'm passing the gas station, what I can only describe, and shout out to KB and Nick at Barstool because I'm going to steal this from them, is a swaggy Filipino pulls up on his crotch rocket. And I mean, this guy was dripped out. I mean, Supreme everything. He's got sick-ass cameras on his helmet. I don't know anything about bikes, but that fucking thing looked expensive. You know,
modern-day Rufio.
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly what he looked like. So he's sitting there, and he's like FaceTiming with his chick while he's like pumping gas. Sitting on his bike, and I'm like, and I walk up all creepy, like, I'm like, excuse me. And he's like, ah. And I'm like, no. I'm like, I know this is gonna sound weird, but here's the situation. I am from out of town. I wanted to hit the dispensary before I leave. I left my debit card because I like hooked up with the chick in Houston.
You're telling him that you were banging girls in other cities, and that's why you don't have a fucking debit card.
He's a swaggy Filipino. He understands this type of language. This is how you communicate with them, Brian. So what's up, buddy? Yeah, we're starting. Yep. It's okay. You're good.
Who cares? You can come hear a story of Will's degeneracy if you want.
Yeah, you can hear the end of this. So I'm telling the swaggy Filipino my whole story about why I don't have a debit card. I'm like, can you just go? If I Venmo you money, will you take money out of the ATM for me? And he's like, I'll do it if it's Zelle. I trust Zelle. Oh, no. He goes, where are you? He's like, you're not from here, right? And I'm like, no, I'm from Cleveland. He's like, I'm from Philly, and guys on the West Coast wouldn't do this for each other, so I'm going to do this for you. And I'm like, thank you, swaggy Filipino. So I go, we go inside. He's like, I'll take Zelle because I trust Zelle.
Uh-huh.
So I Zelle him. I'm like, he's like, how much do you want? I'm like, I want like $240. I'm going to give you $30 for taking out of the ATM because it's such a weird transaction. Okay. I'm going to Zelle you $270. He's like, okay. So I Zelle him $270. It hits his account. Mind you, the whole time he's on FaceTime with this girl talking off her ledge because she feels like he's putting himself in a very weird situation.
Yeah.
So he's in there with his bike helmet on still on FaceTime, goes to pull out the money, only $200 can come out. So he's like, what do you want me to do? I'm like, well, take out the $200. And then I guess if you could just Zelle me back or Venmo me back, I'm like, keep the fee and like $30. Just send me the other like $25, $30, whatever it is. His chick on FaceTime flips the fuck out. She's like, he's scamming you. This is, which now in hindsight, feels like a scam for sure.
That's the, you have to live life that way. You have to assume everything is a scam or else you're fucked.
100%. So he goes, he's like, hold on, hold on. He puts the phone against his chest. He goes, hey man, I'm going to give you the money back, but you got to pretend like I'm not. So she's crazy. She'll yell. He's like, nah, man, I can't do that. And I'm like, oh, dude, can you please? I'm acting in the middle of a fucking gas station in Scottsdale, Arizona. And he's like, no, dude, get the hell out of here. Like, getting all, and I'm like, oh, come on, dude, you just robbed me for 70 bucks. He's like, no, I told you, get out of here. People at the gas station looking, what the fuck is going on over there? He's like, just go stand outside. So I go stand outside, and I'm sitting there like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever done in my entire life. I have my 200 already. Uh-huh. So worst case scenario, I've paid $70 to get out my 200, which is not good, but I'll still get to the dispensary.
I'm surprised. Like, I bet you he's doing this because he thinks you're his Asian brother.
Probably. Yeah. I did not address the fact that I am not Asian.
Yeah. But that's why he trusted you.
100%.
Yeah. He would have fucked you over.
I would have gotten to that later in the story, but yes, that was 100% why we connected in this situation, but I was not going to blow that for myself. Uh-huh. So I went outside. He finally comes out. He's like, dude, my bad. I just zelled you back the $25. He sends me back $25. So now I've paid $35, the $5 fee at the ATM, or $30, $5 fee at the ATM and $25 to this amazing swaggy Filipino who got me my cash. Uh-huh. So now I go back to, mind you, I'm about to miss my flight now. So I go flying back over to the dispensary, which is across the street, run in. They have my bag at the counter. And I'm like, how much is it? They're like $216. I had like $211. And I'm like, I don't have enough money. Like, you take something out of it. Like, we have to redo the whole thing. I'm like, we have to figure something out. I got to get the fuck out of here. Somehow they take some gummies out real quick. And the guy goes, wait, you're about to get on a flight? I'm like, yeah. He goes, you can't take this on a flight. He's like, you gonna check it? I'm like, no, I don't check bags.
Oh, you're an idiot.
He's like, you can't take us on a flight. I'm like, yes, I can. I'm like, I've done it a bunch of times. I don't care. You can take it through TSA all you want. A big bag.
And carry on?
Carry on. No
I don't
problem.
Have the balls.
No
I,
problem.
I have a hard time checking it.
No problem. I'm telling you, no problem whatsoever. Wow. So that's what I say to him. He's like, I bet you can't do that, man. I'm like, I will bet you $25 that I could get this bag through. And he's like, why $25? I'm like, because I just paid $25 to a man to get my cash out. He's like, dude, that's such a good story. If you go get a picture of yourself in front of the gate with this bag, I will send you $25 in Zelle, because I'm still thinking in Zelle. So here is the video proof. Oh no, did I delete this? I gotta hold on. I have it. I have to go into my deleted. And you can see just how drunk I was at this point, because I was just drinking to try to sleep on the flight. Where the fuck is this? Oh my God. Oh yeah, that's the most degenerate
this
story.
This was
ever.
All to get weed, which is legal here now.
Yeah, I can get very easily here. I don't know why.
You would have very easily just gotten it here.
Oh, here it is. I was right here. Sorry. There I am in front of gate E8.
You do look drunk as fuck.
Holding up my bag of the goods. And then I got back my Zelle $25 payment. And I was just texting you guys. I'm like, that was probably the most degenerate shit.
All for weed.
All for weed that I could get here.
And to buy legal weed, too.
And it's very expensive there. It wasn't like I got a good deal or anything.
These are illegal weed adventures that you're having.
I think I was just like itching for the old days.
I was talking about the old days all weekend. I was talking about weed at the Funny Stop. And I was saying, like, no, like, you know, there'd be a table of young kids. I mean, you guys don't understand. Like, you used to have to go behind a Burger King dumpster and talk to a guy that you did not know, and he didn't trust you at all. And then he'd have some sort of burned cigarette cellophane that he would give you $20 with a weed. It was just a gram. It was full of seeds and shit.
Yeah. And then you accidentally had a seed in the joint or blunt you were smoking or in the bowl, and it pops. It stinks.
Yeah.
Oh, it was terrible.
Yeah. Now kids have no idea that weed comes with fucking seeds.
Now you just meet a swaggy Filipino. He gets you cash out of the ATM and you...
There's not a lot of stuff that I'll go on and on to young people about. Of like, you don't know how hard we had it. I hate that for the most part. But like, weed and video games are the two things I'd be like, you have no fucking idea.
Yeah, dude, it used to be harder. You could buy swag weed anywhere, like if you had a good connection. But imagine, remember when you were like under 18, you couldn't buy shells or papers in those days?
I did not smoke under 18.
Oh, okay. Well, back in those days, it was easier to get weed than it was to get shells or papers. I can't tell you how many times we had to like smoke out of tinners and stuff because we just couldn't find anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's probably why I have brain damage and I accosted a swaggy Filipino. So
probably.
So that was my degenerate story. Did that live up to the expectations for you?
Yeah, that was good. That was good.
There's a bit in there somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
There's a bit in there somewhere. I just don't know how to round it into form just yet. I was thinking of Wessels. I might just tell the story.
Yeah. I think I'm going to try out the dressage bit tonight.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, I did it at Hilarities, at Funny Stop on Thursday of last week. and it was going well. And then the callback at the end completely fell flat.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I think I need to repeat it a few times throughout.
Because it's a long joke.
Yeah. And I think people forgot about that part of things.
As I explained to, was it John Brown or someone else when I was talking about you, I said, Brian's Iliad-ass comedy style.
Yeah. I was doing like 50-minute sets that were like 5 bits.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the Browns signing Tyler Huntley and Jameis Winston?
What is happening?
I don't know.
But Jameis hasn't signed yet, has he? Is that official?
He officially signed.
Because people were throwing around fucking conspiracy theories about him leaving.
He was taking snaps in his coat. That motherfucker ain't going nowhere. Did you see that? He was in a full dress jacket taking snaps.
Why do we have this many quarterbacks? and DTR, what is going on? He must have really... Everybody lost faith in him, huh?
I don't know, man. So there was an original rumor that both the contracts had guaranteed money. Now people are saying that they don't think Huntley's contract does have guaranteed money. Still, he had to be told something to come here, right? Otherwise, why would he go from backing Lamar up as a bullshit Pro Bowler? He was not a Pro Bowler, but he...
Technically, he was.
Technically, he was. You feel like he could get a backup job somewhere, and he's going to take the fourth string job here or fight for the third string
Nobody
job?
Nobody has a fourth string quarterback. Yeah, nobody keeps a fourth string quarterback.
So that means that I got to think they said, I think people might be thinking 2-2, and they're like, they know Deshaun's not going to be ready because the team's already leaking that he's ahead of schedule and stuff, and who knows if that's true or not. But the one thing that nobody's thinking about that they very well could have said to Huntley was, they could have been like, hey, is the market soft for you right now, like for a backup spot? How about this? Deshaun's not going to be able to take the snaps preseason. He's not. I mean, we all know that right now. If he plays, it's going to be the start of the year. We will get you a bunch of snaps through the first couple of games, and then, you know, we can trade you or release you to a different spot if it feels, you know what I mean, when there's an opportunity that arises.
I would be surprised if the guy needs that. I mean, it's not like there's not much tape on him. He has filled in for Lamar quite a bit.
Yeah, that's true. And he's played fine. He's not great. He's fine.
He's a running quarterback for the most part. I really don't get it. I don't get anything that we're doing. Also, like, the difference between Jameis and Deshaun, like, it's going to be a very Flacco versus and Deshaun kind of situation where, like, the offense, either you're not tailoring it to Deshaun, or you're going to come in and you're going to get a guy who's a pocket passer versus Deshaun, who's very mobile. You're not going to keep status quo.
No, and Jameis is a push it downfield guy. He takes big risks. He's very much
Flacco.
Yeah, he is Flacco. I know, that's the funny thing to me. Everybody freaking the fuck out. Like, they literally just signed black dumb Flacco. That's really, that's all it is. They're on the field. They're the same fucking guy. They can't move. They push it downfield. They take huge risks, but they make big plays too.
I don't know. Jameis is at his peak. Was a 1-to-1 touchdown to interception guy. Yeah. Flacco's better than that. It has been better than that. Like, even last year he was, and really barely, for the course of his career, he was better than that. Yeah.
Well, the couple years leading up to the Browns was not. He looked very Jameis-esque. And then you saw with the elite cast, which looked to be elite with the Browns, he was able to elevate his game. I don't believe Jameis can elevate his game. But we talked about it, you know, the risk versus reward of, you know, you saw, dude, there was line down the block for $200 autographs from Joe Flacco the other day in Cleveland.
Yeah.
You're telling me that wouldn't have cost some kind of issue?
Yeah,
dude?
There's no way around it. That was the problem. That's why Flacco's gone.
And he's not good. And honestly, Joe Flacco, it just is not good enough to deal with that. He's not. If he was better, you would deal with it, right?
I don't think we have earned the right to discern that way. I think we've been so bad at picking quarterbacks that if you get one guy who has actually showed success here specifically, where there seems to be some sort of fucking occult curse, a guy who can actually succeed here, you keep him. That's where I'm coming from.
I mean, I'm not against what you're saying right now. I actually kind of agree with you. I'm just like, I guess I'm just thinking about it from
their Browns' perspective. They're protecting their gigantic investment, tiny little baby bitch ass quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know how else you can say it, to be honest with you. You know, even if that's not how his mentality actually is, it's the way it's being presented, and there's almost no other way to read it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, there really is almost no other way to read it. You know, he blocked. Did you see he blocked Carnsey?
No, but fine.
He did, and then Carnsey had pitched a fit about it on Twitter because he's like, I stood up for you, blah, blah, blah. Someone told Deshaun unblocked him and then followed him afterwards.
Oh, God.
So now you have, I don't know what that is. Somebody just DM'd me on Instagram and I have no idea who it is.
Oh, yeah?
It was a man though, so it's not important. But yeah, I don't know. It just,
I hope it's a butthole.
That would be an interesting DM. I've not gotten one of those yet, but
I've never gotten a butthole.
A girl butthole either?
I've gotten a girl butthole.
As I say, girl buttholes are, those things are.
Sorry, Dad. Sorry, Kevin and Kim.
Those are floating around like pennies at this point. You know what I mean? It's old hat. There was something else I was going to say about the Browns. I don't really remember what it was. Oh, Devonta Foreman. Do anything for you? I mean, it's fine, right? Whatever. Depth.
Big old running back room.
Yeah. There's a lot of guys in the quarterback and running back rooms.
No way Pierre Strong is going to hang on if you're going to keep Nyheim Hines. I mean, it's between the two. Deontay Foreman, I don't get why you wouldn't just roll Jerome Ford back out there. My hopes are always Nick Chubb, of course.
Yeah.
But the most perplexing thing to me is this Jerry Jeudy contract.
Yeah, well, that was what we talked about. And I know people got excited because they locked him up long term. And honestly, when you run the numbers up against other like receivers, as this thing grows over the next 2 years, it's not going to be that crazy of a contract. But you are paying top dollar for what right now looks like a number two receiver. Like, he has not played like a number one receiver.
Okay number two, not even like a top tier number two.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, a number two with high upside is what you would say. You would say like a middle, above average number two receiver with high, like theoretical high upside.
What are we basing that on? College performance?
I guess. And there's been
in his fifth year in the NFL?
Tiny little flashes. I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm just saying that's what I would imagine they were saying. This is the kind of contract they're handing.
I guess. I don't know, man. I don't get it. I mean, yeah, hope he does well. He's has not been very good, and he's been a dick about it.
And did you see his tweets today at Mark Schlereth?
Yes, I did.
So like 10 days after that whole Mark Schlereth thing happens, he starts quote tweeting it and talking shit. Hashtag bag season. And like, I don't really give a shit about any
love
of that stuff.
Love to see that out of our guys.
Yeah, but that's
love a hashtag bag season out of our guys.
That's also the exact stuff that Mark Schlereth was talking about.
Yes.
Like to a fucking T. So, you know, what are you going to do? The guy's on the fucking team now. You just
go Browns.
Go Browns.
Go Browns.
You know what? They might be scumbags, but there are scumbags. You know?
I think re-signing Maurice Hurst is the most underrated move they've made this year by far.
I would agree.
I loved what he brought to the rotation. I love having him as a rotational pass rush piece. He was great. He was a lot of fun.
Me too. And I'm wondering if they're going to allow him, because they have not filled out the entirety of the depth on that position, if he's going to get a chance to make a run at one of those starting spots or more playing time, or if they're going to add some more depth and keep him what he was, which, like you said, was a great rotational piece.
He's a little undersized. He's you know, the rush three technique. I don't necessarily think that he should be in on obvious running downs. I think you go Shelby Harris and Tomlinson on the obvious rushing down. So I like him where he's at. I don't think he got really a big old bag. It wasn't hashtag bag season.
But
he got some sort of bag, so that's good. Just whatever keeps him here. I like that. I liked him at Michigan. I liked him coming out. He would have been a much higher draft pick if it wasn't for those heart issues.
All right, because we're anxiously awaiting Steve Ranazzisi. I want to switch gears real quick, but there was something I was going to say. I don't remember what the hell it was, but how'd you feel about, we are locked in. I believe we're locked in Thursday, April 18th at Westall's. Friday, April 19th, new time for West Bank Golf Club, new day. That's going to be a Friday night show. It starts at 9 p.m. So a night show, which I think is going to be awesome there.
Hell yeah.
Very excited about that. Believe that show, I haven't confirmed that with him, so I'm not going to say it. But I know the Westall show, Jason Lawhead is in town and will be headlining
nice.
That, which I'm very All excited right. about. And I'll be with Jason in San Diego the next week after that, he won't be there, but I'll be there 24th, 25th, 26th doing some dates down in San Diego.
Okay.
So I want to get those out there. By the way, how did Funny Stop go?
Funny Stop was good. Like I wasn't sure how tickets were going to sell. And I know that us on this podcast pushing, at least nobody mentioned it to me. So I don't know if we do have any pull, but enough people came to where I felt good about the weekend, especially up against St. Patrick's Day weekend.
Yes, very tough.
You know, Thursday night was better than a typical Thursday night there. Those can be rough. Friday were both, you know, mid-sized turnouts, but really fun crowds. Saturday early show was a solid turnout, like really good. Not full, but good. And then like that crowd, I had to slow myself down because the laughs just kept, they were sustaining. They're like, I'd say something and they would just continue. I just have to stand there and smile. Like, I'm like, just drink it in. Take a yeah. minute. And then like
I'll step on it, baby.
And I'd immediately have something and just send him right back into it. Like as Dave Heron said, I was in the pocket that night.
That's fucking awesome. Yeah, dude, it's funny. I was just talking to someone earlier about this. They were asking about crowd size and if it matters. And I'm like, it does, because the bigger a crowd, laughter is contagious, right?
Depends on the room.
Yeah, but also sometimes big crowds suck and sometimes little crowds are awesome. And you don't really know. Everyone has a million different variables in it. And the House of Comedy that I was at in Phoenix with Dan Donahue, I did the late Friday show. And it was a smaller crowd and they were very much into it, but they were the type of crowd who did the ha 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 ha.
Yeah.
Which is, that's really tough in a big, that's a damn near a theater they have out there. I mean, it's a big fucking room. And, you know, we had probably had 70 people, 80 people in it. And if they're not sustaining the laughter, it's fine. It just makes you feel like you're not doing well, even though you get off stage and everybody has the exact same response. You know what I mean?
The worst is a crowd where you can't build goodwill, where you're starting each bit, each joke, each line, you're starting from scratch.
Yeah.
Like they don't trust you and just like assume everything's funny. And they're like, you know, ready to laugh at each thing you say. They'll just like, they'll like one thing and it'll hit hard and then immediately stop. And they're like, completely forgot what you had just done. They're just like, are you funny?
Yeah. And it was, you know, the late crowds, a lot of times they're drunker, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a drunk crowd and they wanted crowd work so bad, but you know, I'm going to guest you. I'm not going to go step on Dan's fucking toes with that. Right. But I did throw out one little nugget. There was a group of girls up front. They were dressed in, I don't know what the fuck their t-shirts were, in cowboy hats. And I was just like, I got a couple good hits right out of the gate. And I was like, what do we got going on up here? And they all tried to talk at the same time. And I was like, you guys do know that just because Beyonce put out that song, you don't have to dress like fucking assholes. Right. And that crushed. That was by far the biggest laugh of the night, probably. Uh-huh. But they wanted crowd work. And then when Dan went up and he started doing crowd work, it killed. But, you know, it's kind of a dickhead move. I just used my 5 minutes to go out there and eat the room. But it was fun. I'm glad you had a great time out at Funny Stop.
Yeah.
That's always a fun, and like you said, St. Patrick's Day weekend can be, we're feeling that tonight. You're at Hilarities. You're not going to be at Wessels tonight. So by the time people hear this, it's all good. Ryan Dalton also had to back out, which people at Wessels don't know about yet. They're going to find out when I get there in a little bit, but he did promise. He's like, I will be back. I'm going to do a makeup date. I promise. I don't want to say it too early because we sold tickets on that name. So, and the ticket turned out for the first time ever, Wessels is not sold out.
Well, then maybe Ryan Dalton didn't sell tickets.
Well, here's the thing is I think he did sell some tickets, but I think it was just like, you know, it's the Thursday after St. Patrick's Day, and it's the first night of March Madness. I didn't even think of that.
Yes, I have been watching all day long, and it has been very enjoyable.
I haven't seen a single second. Nothing.
Nothing?
I've been going nonstop since 6:45.
I mean, like, I was really avoiding, I mean, you can't avoid the phones at my job, but like really quick conversations today. I want to get right back to it.
Yep. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Sarah filled out her first bracket. We did it over the phone.
Really?
And I'm like, okay, number one, North Carolina versus number 16, Howard. Like, what do you think? And she went through all of them. She's got Iowa State winning the whole thing.
Okay.
She had some real big upsets in the first round, so it should be very interesting.
Girls always do that. And then they're going to hit on one of them, and they're immediately in the running for the bracket because they, like, everybody else's favorite falls out, and they happen to pick it.
She, what was her? She has a couple twos losing to 15s, like two twos losing to 15s.
That would be fucking awesome if that happened.
Oh, I told her. I'm like, listen, I am very much rooting for your bracket. I would love it if this is how this played out.
I did not even look at a bracket. I haven't even glanced at one.
I looked for the first time today. I've watched zero college basketball. I don't know anything. Everybody likes UConn. I know that. I went UNC. I just had a feeling.
Yeah, I don't know about any of that. So I'm going to bet when Wessel shows over, whatever's happening, I'm live betting whatever game is on. Like instantly, money's getting laid down on it. I want some juice in this. But I don't have anything going right now, which I'm pretty disappointed in myself.
Yeah,
this used to be my favorite.
You got a new thing?
I do have a new thing.
Yeah.
AIDS.
You got fucking AIDS. You got debit cards in Houston.
I do have debit cards in Houston. Oh, here he is. Hey, what's up, brother? How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
I'm Brian.
Stop, Steve. Nice to meet
you. Brian, Will, how are you? Grab a seat, man.
Awesome.
We're already starting, so you just jump on in.
Sorry, I'm late.
No, you're
fine. It's like an informal orgy. You just find your place, tap in, and
go to town.
I'm overdressed.
Yeah. Steve Ranazzisi is how you say it, right?
It's actually pronounced Smith.
So okay, perfect.
But yes,
it's real roundabout way of spelling it.
That's fine.
A lot of double letters in it, which throws me.
There's only two single letters. I think it's only R and an S. Everything else is double.
Mississippi.
Two N's, two A's, two Z's, two I's, an R and an S.
Okay.
What nationality is that?
Italian. Half. No. Well, my dad's Italian, but I'm my mom's Irish, so I'm half and half. But yeah, my dad was Italian, Sicilian.
Okay.
That's where it comes from. Some people think I'm Polish.
Why?
Some people just see the stuff at the end and they like Ranaziski. They see an ISI and they throw a K in there and they make me Polish.
I feel like you'd fit right in at Dingus Day. That's like their holiday, their St. Patrick's Day.
What is?
Dingus Day. Most people don't know what this is. They have a St. Patrick's Day. It's the day after Easter. It's called Dingus Day. And they all drink in the street and they squirt the girls squirt.
What country?
So they do it over there apparently, but in America the only two big parties are Buffalo and Cleveland.
But in Ireland you're talking about?
No, they did Poland. There's
in Poland.
Polish people.
Okay.
Dingus, so
it's a Polish celebration.
Yeah, so the
Gronkowskis are from Buffalo.
Yes,
makes sense.
So the girls squirt the guys with squirt guns if they think they're cute, the guys squirt the girls with squirt guns if they think they're hot, and the girls hit you with a pussy willow. It is the most.
Let me tell you something. This is not a female idea where guys get to walk around with squirt guns.
Girls seem
and
to like it.
This is not a long-standing tradition, right? Because how long has a squirt gun's been around?
That's true.
It could have been a thing where they used to just shoot the ones they liked the best in like the leg, and then like
those old.
That's how they captured.
Or spit on them. What did they get?
The Bugs Bunny seltzers.
Oh yeah, okay.
They could have used the Bugs Bunny seltzers.
Yeah, the old school one.
Then you'd have to really make sure you liked the girl though, because you don't have a whole.
I've never heard of this Dingus Day.
Yeah, it's only
a big deal around here.
Yeah, here it's huge. They just moved it back. They try to confine it and charge ticket prices for it. Now they moved it back to the street where all the drunkards belong.
Wow!
So they just shut down a whole port.
And they're still celebrated heavily with the squirt guns and the
whole thing. And then they do a parade. It's like a, it's like a kind of a Day of the Dead type thing they do. It's like a lot of skeletons in it. It's very. I feel like someone just made this up one morning. Drunk.
Yeah. Hello. Dingus Day. Yeah. You think this was well thought out?
No.
The senator from Rhode Island, bring forth Dingus Day. Proclamation.
You got shows all weekend at Hilarities.
I do.
We'll get to business here for a second.
Oh yeah, sure. No worries.
You've been here at Hilarities quite a bit though, right?
Yeah, many times. In fact, I remember this room. I've been in this. Well, I don't know. Are we allowed to tell undisclosed location?
Where 100%.
We're in the Martini Lounge.
Yeah.
And so the first weekend I was ever here, I got here on a Thursday, and the Tuesday before, I think it was a Tuesday, was the Boston Marathon bomb.
Oh, shit.
And so I remember being here. This place was packed, and like, you know, it was like 24/7 news coverage. Everyone was glued to the TV. And so everyone was glued to the TVs over here watching what was going on. So when I walked into the room, it's like always the first thing I think of when I come in here.
Tragedy?
Yeah, why not?
Damn.
And then there used to be like a strip club or the
burlesque.
Yeah.
That's the other thing I remember.
Yeah, now they took their room and they made it our green room. So they got their office back.
Nice. Sorry. I forgot about the burlesque stuff down there.
Oh, yeah. Murder Mystery Nights.
That's how long I've been coming. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
How long have you been doing stand up?
23 years.
Wow.
Yeah, that's 23 years. Yeah,
I was just asked. I took like six and a half off, and I was in San Diego. And one of the comics was like, "You took six and a half off, and you came back. Why the fuck would you do that?"
Yeah,
I mean, do you ever wonder, why am I still doing this? Or do you love it still?
Oh, I still love it. I still love being on stage. You know, there's a lot of other things that you don't love about it, but yeah, the performing part is still pretty awesome and fun. All the other stuff is kind of, but you know what? It's gotten better in the sense that. You know, you have an ability now to get your name out there, and you know, in a bigger way than before. You know, you still have to just go at it.
Yeah,
hope that people saw you and liked you and remembered you. Now it's like, you know, there's a pathway. At least you can see it. You can do it yourself. But yeah, no, I still love performing. Everything else sucks.
Do you do your own social media? If somebody does social media for you,
I do everything myself, and I'm terrible at it, and it's the demise of my career. Yeah. Basically, I mean, there are a few factors, but that's one of them. The fact that I haven't
given,
because then people are like, "Oh, I'll do it for you," and then you got to pay them, and they're like, "Well, we want videos," and I'm like, "Well, I'm at my kid's baseball game, so
yeah."
Like, if you're the video, what the fuck's you might as well just do the rest of it.
Yeah, like, yeah. I'll tell you about what I'm doing, but I don't want to be, like, I don't want to hang with you all the time.
Yeah. You should find someone who looks just like you and just give them carte blanche to go make videos as you.
I used to have
like Saddam.
That. I mean.
Yeah, like Saddam Hussein, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, you just have to have a doppelganger that's willing to do it. I mean, look, I would clone and or get you know, what are those holograms of myself?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If I could.
And we're not far away from that now.
I mean, I wouldn't do that performance, but if I could actually do two or three performances a night and like across the country and use holograms on, you know, a couple other places. That would be pretty cool. I would do
simulcast.
That. Yeah, I was shocked that that didn't become more of a thing after that Tupac thing.
Yeah, and it just didn't go anywhere.
I thought they'd have big venues with just hologram performances year round.
Yeah, you would think that that was going to take off, but I think that it was a little creepy.
Yeah,
I think, and it was all like, you know, it couldn't really move around. Like it was like sort of. It's cool for a gimmick, I think. I don't know if I could do a whole show of just that, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I am. I'm having trouble wrapping my mind around like that bubble thing out in Vegas where it's like all immersive and there's actually real people performing. So I can't even think about just watching a hologram perform.
Imagine being the performer, not feeling any of the laughter. Just even now, like in bigger venues where it takes time for the laughs to hit you.
Everything's
that's
in,
weird.
I know. Everything's in like an arena now or something like that. Those are, those used to be like. Like, you know, you were like, oh, how could Louis do an arena? And you're like, oh, he did it. And he made it fine. It was like, you know, it felt like too vast and big and crazy. You know, you needed a show like Dice or something, someone huge. Kevin Hart, explosions and stuff like that. That felt it. But now everyone's sort of,
now there's
they get, you know, Kill Tony's doing Madison Square Garden where, you know, open micers are going to do an arena.
Yeah.
It's insane. It's pretty crazy.
When you're talking about like explosions, how far Kevin gone. Hart and stuff, like that type of energy, and then you have like Nate Bargatze who's just like the lowest energy, like hilarious, obviously, but he's doing arenas. You know what I mean? Like,
well, that's because everybody wants to come see him, and it's like, why not? I mean, for Nate, because he's so clean, you could do a 2 o'clock. It's like going to see the circus.
Yeah.
The circuses are in arenas, you know, and so why not? Yeah.
Less cleanup.
Yeah, no, I'm terrible at the social media thing, and I don't want to, I can't, like, living my life in the masses in front of everyone is not something that, I don't know, I just, I would screw it up.
How was a life adjustment when the league took off? And obviously, I'm sure everywhere you went, people were like, Kevin! You know what I mean? Was that an adjustment?
It was cool because it was like all of us at the same time were sort of becoming, you know, like, you know, known and sort of, and it was like we were it was happening to all of us, each one of us. So it was kind of cool that we were, when we were together, it happened a lot. And we'd go off and, you know, I'd be like, oh, you know, like someone yelled Kevin at me. It was like kind of crazy to us that the show was kind of taken off and people were, and then, you know, everyone sort of exploded from the show since then and gone on to big, huge things. So, I don't know necessarily. I mean, for me, it was like, I don't think I changed that much as a person, but I definitely like was, you know, social media was starting to take off. So it was a little bit before that. And so I was like, I dodged all that. Like I kind of got into the game late of social media and branding yourself.
Yeah.
I was just sort of like, oh, this is awesome being part of this cool thing. But for me, I'm like, now it's like everyone has to, you got to brand yourself. You have to be a brand at all times.
Do people still yell lines from the show at you?
Oh yeah, very much so.
Do your kids hate it? Is it the most annoying thing about them?
I think
what is Shiva?
They've never watched the show, so they don't even know really what the reference is. And it's funny to me because now I do like I'll do I don't know, sure they're familiar with that app Cameo.
Mm-hmm.
So like you know everybody has a faction of their audience that they're like I don't mind charging that person to do like so if you want me to make your fantasy football. predictions or your lineup for the draft. Sure, we can do that via Cameo. It's no problem. So at the end, I usually end with like a Shiva blast, something like that.
Yeah.
So my kids will hear me do it, and they don't even know what it means or what it is, but they will try to. My youngest goes, Shiva community, ka, 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 ka. And he's like, that's great, right, Dad? I go, yeah, that's perfect, buddy. I'm going to start having you do these for me. I did have it work for me last summer because after a while, I was like, you pick the order of these, you know, draft.
Yeah.
And I was like an apprenticeship for him.
Dude, because that's a grind. I worked at Barstool and, you know, Frank the Tank.
Yeah.
So I sat two desks down from Frank the Tank and would watch him do hours of cameos on certain days. And it was
my God.
It looked like the most exhausting thing on the face of the earth.
I'm sure for him, too. Yeah. It was
and he's got to go apeshit on every single one.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They don't want to see normal Frank the Tank.
That's, I know. And like picking the lineups and stuff. It's becomes a little bit of like a you gotta like write it out and do it. You
know? Yeah.
I mean, I guess I could just, I've done it different ways. I've done it like I used to do horse races in Dubai. I would just pick a race with if they had 12 people, 10 people, whatever, 10. And I would just assign each person a horse and then however they finished was how you were gonna draft.
That's pretty good. I like that actually. That.
Pick names out of cops, you know, all these different things. So now I'm like, it is becoming a thing that I enjoy, you know, in the summertime to pick for people, but it is I don't mind charging for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You, I mean, it's very well rated, but I think still it is a underrated comedy all time. The League, like people who love like the League, have seen the League, love the fucking League.
Yeah, yeah. We don't have a like you know How I Met Your Mother or The Big Bang Theory sort of you know broad audience like that. Yeah. But the people that do watch or did watch the show or do watch the show or you know presently watch the show are tremendous fans and. Very few I've ever met are like, you know, I watched it and really didn't like it.
Yeah, either
people watched
like that,
it and they were like, I watched three and I hated it, or I watched every episode in 2 days. You know, so it was one or the other. And we were like, that's perfect.
I watched every episode as it came out. Yeah. It was appointment television.
I don't think I've seen any episode in about, I don't know, 8 years, nine, something like that. So, and...
I'm going to sit back and like open a bottle of Chianti and like, I just want some Rafi in my life tonight. That's,
I, know. I think that when my kids watch, my sons want to get in. Like, my oldest is super into fantasy now.
Oh, yeah.
And so he's in ninth grade. We, you know, and I think it's going to be, I think the weirdest thing for them is going to be like seeing me with like another woman, probably, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't think of that.
You know. Was it weird having your wife be your co-star's wife?
In the beginning, it was a little strange.
I'd imagine, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, a little bit. But, you know, that it's being in a romantic relationship on a television set, like, you know, on you know via the show,
yeah.
It's always a strange. You know, there was no, like, like, any time that Katie and I were doing a scene where we were, like, you know, husband and wife or, you know, like, in bed or whatever, it was always, like, 35 people in the room.
Yeah.
But they're not, there's nothing, like... Like romantic about anything like that, so it's all very business-like.
Yeah, they weren't intimate scenes.
There was nothing like you know. The strangest part is doing things and having like, you know, we shot a scene where like our kids were playing hide and seek, like they had and we were having sex, and then like one of them hit in a like making eye contact with a child pretending to have sex was way more disturbing to me than you know.
This
you
is
know,
what they're talking about with those
you know,
Hollywood
pretending yeah. with my. Friend, co-star's, you know, wife, who's also my co-star. So, yeah, there were other, yeah, I was worried about other things. Sure. But, yeah, no, it wasn't. In the beginning, it was a little, you know, especially bar scenes.
Yeah.
Sure.
Where she would come in, we'd all be hanging out, and she'd come over and give me a kiss, and I'd be like, I remember Jeff one time being like, or I would come in and be like, I'd go over and give her a kiss, and Jeff, the director, was like, a little more familiar. Uh-huh. A little more, you know, like, I'm like, yeah, okay, no problem. Just, it's, yeah. So, like, one or two of those. But other than that, everything else.
Has anybody approached you about the pretty dick thing?
I mean, no. Because you know what it is? Like, dudes don't really care. They want a more, like, sack. Anything to do with, like, fear boners and things like that. Or, like, they want to sack tap you. Like, that's the worst. Like, I would never, like, yeah. Like, don't. But, like, women are never really, like, women aren't, like, pigs like that in a way. Like I've never had a woman come over and be like, show me that pretty dick. Like a dude did it to me once in a mall. Yelled it.
Brian's about to do it to you all weekend, just so you know.
Yeah, yelled it across the mall. Hey Kevin, show me that pretty dick. It was like a month after the episode. I was like,
awesome.
We're in a mall, dude, outside in Santa Monica, like one of those outdoor mall fancy people walking around. It was wild. Yeah, stuff like that. And I was with my kid, and he's like, show me that pretty dick. What does that mean, Dad? I'm like, all right, easy. This is going to be a problem.
So I'll be yours one day, son.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All, this is my legacy, my man. I'm going to pass it all down to you one day.
This is your Mufasa moment.
Yeah.
All right, so can I pitch you on a reboot or a spinoff? I thought about this on the way in.
Mm-hmm.
I pitch this on? All right. So Brian hasn't even heard this yet either.
And you're still hitting that stash from Arizona, aren't you?
Yes, 100%. I was going to save my degenerate story for you, but it was too long, and I'm glad we did it earlier anyway. But so, obviously, since fantasy, the popularity of fantasy has waned somewhat since people moved to daily fantasy and then now just straight betting everywhere across the country, right? So my idea is that the entire crew has gone belly up and lost everything gambling, right?
Okay.
Except for Rafi, who was one of the very first millionaire maker winners on FanDuel, DraftKings, fill in the blank, whatever. And then he took that money and flipped it 10x in crypto on Dogecoin.
Okay.
So he's just got the dumbest money now.
Yep.
And he lives, but he keeps all of his crypto on floppy disks.
Okay.
And he lives in a swanky penthouse, you know, top of a building type place. Imagine Jeremy Piven smoking aces. This is what I'm going for here.
Okay.
And you guys are now going to break in to try to steal the crypto to restore your lives. And the but the only cameos you get from athletes are athletes that got caught gambling and have been suspended. So it's a lot of Calvin Ridley, okay. Shohei Ohtani next season.
Jameson Williams,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, exactly.
Jameson Williams, yeah.
How do you like this?
Well, I mean, first of all, I think that you missed the show. And I really, I feel, that's the first thing. It has an air of real tenderness to it.
Yeah.
And we appreciate it. Yes. And we miss you, too. We miss you, too. As a fan, we miss you. I think overall, it's a pretty wild idea. I am certainly not the person to pitch this to. I did not create the show. I think that this would probably be like a, you want this to be a movie, right?
I don't know. I'm on ayahuasca right now, so I have no idea.
Okay. Because this does, I don't really, I mean, unless we're going to, this heist is like a big, long thing.
It'd be a very quick heist.
Yeah.
He left the back door open, I think is what happened.
You know, I mean, look, I'll throw it up the flagpole and see what happens.
I'll DM you and we'll talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, people ask a lot of a reboot and stuff like that. I would be perfectly fine if we never shot another frame again and be okay with it, because I think what we did was great. But, you know, if people had an idea to do something else, I would be more than willing to listen. But overall, I think that we could not get away with the things that we got away with. I think things have changed a little bit in that aspect. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, you bring it back. Would it be the same? Would it feel the same? You know, would it totally be the same? Could we do the same stuff? And if we didn't and we didn't feel like it, would people enjoy it as much? So, you know, right now people love it, and that's cool.
I'm glad you feel that way, too, because too many things, I think, try to stretch on too long and it goes into a different era, like you said. I mean, we are in an era where a lot of those jokes wouldn't – I mean, I don't know if they're going to get canceled on them, but I don't think they're going to be received the same way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, like if it was like a thing where we were like Always Sunny and it just kept going, I think we would just be able to continue on the path that we were on. But bringing it back, I think you would look at it now, and plus everyone, there's a lot of people with huge careers in that cast.
Yeah.
There's a lot to lose. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if anyone else is going to be up to gamble their career away.
Mark Duplass has some classy works
everyone,
out there.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, everyone's doing great. So it's like, you know, I love doing it. I loved being a part of it and being a part of that cast and hanging out with everyone every day. I miss them, and I would do it again in a heartbeat if the right thing came around. But if it never did, I'm perfectly fine with everything that we did in those years.
That's a great place to be, man.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. Brian, you got anything else before we wrap this up? We let him go back.
Uh-huh.
You guys get ready for your show.
Any specifically good athlete stories on set?
I mean, it's funny now that guys are retiring that we had on the show.
Yeah.
A lot of them.
Guys have been retired, yeah. But Josh Cribbs is our only Brown that made it to the show.
I always think, like, JJ is now retired. And I'm trying to think of people that we had on the show. Like, even, like, we did the whole sequence in the Combine sequence. I think it was, like, was that the last year maybe it was? The seventh season or the sixth season? Where we start with that. And the guys in that draft class, Mike Evans is the only one still playing.
Yeah.
Taylor Lewan's retired. Yeah. Carlos Hyde's retired.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of guys in that draft class that we shot that scene with that no longer. But yeah, Mike Evans, I was like, when he goes, I think that might be the last person from the show.
He just resigned. He's got time.
Yeah, no, he's still around. But yeah, it's I think, you know, J.J. Watt was a different. He's anyone chasing you down a fancy hotel in loafers that sounds like a rhinoceros. It was so bad. It was so frightening that. Like, we couldn't time it with the camera because, you know, they wanted to give me a head start and make it look real and also look with the camera. And they couldn't figure it out because his closing speed was so quick and tremendous that it literally sounded like you were being chased down by a rhinoceros.
No, thank you.
Very scary.
He was so goddamn good.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, amazing.
20 sacks and a 3-man front.
I mean, they had to move the extra point back. Because he just blocked so many that year. They were like, we got to make this thing, you know, we got to do something different here.
He made that rare era of athlete that was so good that I immediately hated him. Like, he was like so good.
You
I
just hate white athletes. We've talked about this many times.
Yeah, but he is one of those that I just like, I just hate him. He's too goddamn good.
Yep.
It's not fair.
And nice.
And nice.
And nice, cool. Which makes it even worse.
He's
right?
Going to do well in broadcasting. He was funny on the show.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Speaking of, Taylor Lewan's made a nice career for himself.
Great career. Right? Yeah. Amazing.
Killing it over there.
Doing it his way, too.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yep.
Well, dude, kill it this weekend.
Thank you, brother.
Two shows Friday, two shows Saturday. It was great hanging out with you. Brian will be here featuring with you all weekend. Don't let him tell you have a beautiful penis all weekend.
I'll let it pass once.
Yeah. He brought
if
it
he
up.
Wants to take a picture with it, that's where I draw the line.
I'm going to say it a bunch.
Okay.
If you do get a picture with it, make sure he signs it.
Please. Okay. Make sure my wife's here when I do it.
Enjoy it this weekend.
Thanks, man.
Welcome back to Cleveland, and thanks for jumping on the pod, man.
Appreciate it.
We'll talk to you guys next week.